We are in Genesis 40 this morning. Let's pray as we begin. Before we pray, I want you to have this one thought in your mind. Our theme this morning is, if you have to wait in this life, if you have to wait in this life, keep your eyes on God and not on man. If you have to wait, keep your eyes on God. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be in the house of the Lord. We're thankful to hold the scriptures in our hands and in our hearts. I pray that you would reveal the truth of them to us, guide and direct. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Joseph of the Genesis story had been put in prison. And you remember the story from previous times. He's ending up in prison. How long has he been in prison? We're not sure. We're just not sure. Look at Genesis 40 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt, it means the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Came to pass after these things. We don't know how long that means. Joseph had put in prison, and then something new is happening. We're not sure of the time frame. It describes a time period in prison that we're not sure of. After Joseph was in prison for some time, let's continue reading in verse 2. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, or the cupbearer, and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, in prison. And into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued in season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Look at verse 4. Captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, served them, and they continued a season in war. We're not even sure how long that is. So we're not sure how long Joseph is in prison at the beginning of this chapter. It says at the end of verse 4 that after these two officials are imprisoned with Joseph, they continued in a season in the prison. There are scholars that believe that's about a year. And I'll tell you on Wednesday. Ask me on Wednesday at our Bible study why I believe it may be a year. And I'll tell you on Wednesday. But we're not sure. So perhaps a year plus some time, Joseph is in prison. These two officials, the butler, which is the cupbearer, and the baker, they are both the people in charge of their committees, the chief cupbearer, the chief baker, they were close to the fire, these two officials. And I want to say they were close to the throne. That's why I mean they were close to the fire. Each had to do with the food of Pharaoh. The cupbearer or the butler would taste the food of Pharaoh in case it was poison, and also taste it so it was good. So it was seasoned, so Pharaoh would enjoy it. The chief baker, he provided food for the table, the baked goods for the table of Pharaoh. Now both had close connections with the tyrant of their day, with Pharaoh. And that was great if everything went well. I mean, he made all these decisions, and he could really help you. You know, that would be great to be close to the one who made all the decisions in the country. Good if everything went well. Bad if something went wrong. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Pharaoh was wroth. He was angry against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, in prison with Joseph. These two officers, these two officials, they have two dreams. One turns out good, one turns out bad. The chief cupbearer, look at verse 6. Genesis 40 and verse 6. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" Verse 8, they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Now, I want you to remember that. We're going to come back to that. "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Verse 9. And the chief butler, the cupbearer, told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of the dream. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler or chief cupbearer." "I have a dream," the cupbearer said. I saw a vine. And the vine had 3 branches. And the branches bloomed into these 3 clusters. And the blossoms, the blooms, turned into grapes. And I took the grapes, and I crushed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said, "I've got the interpretation. The 3 branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you back to your position. You'll be standing next to the power again, handing Pharaoh his cup." Now the chief baker, maybe he liked what he heard. He said, "I've got a dream." And he wanted Joseph to interpret it. Look at verse 16 of Genesis 40. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats, baked food, baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off of thee." "I dream," he said, three baskets of bread. And the top basket, the birds ate from off of that top basket. Joseph said, "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, but not to restore you. He'll hang you on a tree, and those birds of the air that ate off of that top basket will eat the flesh of your body." Now, one important thing for this morning, one important message Joseph gave to the butler or the chief cupbearer, look at it. Look at verse 14. Remember, he had the good interpretation. He was going back to Pharaoh. Verse 14, to the chief cupbearer, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For I indeed was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon." You're going back. You're going to go back to the, you know, you're going to be close to the fire. Back to the throne. You're going to go back to Pharaoh, where he makes all the decisions. And when you get back there, would you just tell them, "I'm here"? But when you're set free, "Remember me, be kind to me, and tell the king about me so I can get out of this prison." When there's an opportune moment, when you can get a word in edgewise, when you're enjoying your freedom, put a good word in for me. We read the chapter earlier. Did he do that? Did the chief cupbearer put a good word in for Joseph? Look at verse 20. Genesis 40 and verse 20. Came to pass the third day, Pharaoh's birthday. He made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, or the cupbearer, and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler, the cupbearer, unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted. Now look at verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. But he forgot. I like to say, forgot. He forgot about him. He completely forgot. Didn't even cross his mind to talk to Pharaoh about Joseph in the prison. Scriptures say for 2 years, he forgot about Joseph. Look at verse 1 of chapter 41. Chapter 41 tells us the story of Pharaoh having dreams, and the chief cupbearer finally remembering to tell Pharaoh about the interpreter of dreams. But look at the time frame. Look at verse 1. Came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 full years. Pharaoh's going to dream, and the cupbearer is finally going to remember Joseph. 2 years. 2 years. Go back to Genesis 40. And look at that last verse. Genesis 40, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot about him. It is a low point. It is a valley. It is a depressing note to end on. Joseph is standing there, looking out the window, waiting for a phone call, waiting for a messenger. And it doesn't come. And it doesn't come. Because this cupbearer forgot all about Joseph. Forgot all about him. The last words of this chapter, he forgot all about him. The story comes to a low, to a valley. For two whole years. Maybe Joseph thought, that's it. I'm never getting out of here. I'm never getting out of this prison. I've gone from the pit that my brothers threw me in to being slave of Potiphar to going to prison, and I'm not leaving this place. I'm done. There's no way up. There's no way out. Maybe a year plus before these officials came, 2 years after the dreams, forgotten. In limbo. Nothing happening. Ever feel that way in your life? Ever feel forgotten? Like you're between one thing and another? Like you're in limbo? Like you're in a valley? And you look around and you say, who will remember me? Who will fix this? You know, some people wait for a job. They apply, and they interview, and they wait, and the phone never rings. It can be years. The phone never rings. Some people are waiting for their career job while they work, and it never happens. It never comes. There's never an opening. Some people are not well physically. When will I feel better? When will I get better? When will I get out of this valley? When will I be out of limbo? When will I be without pain? When will I be able to do the things that I want to do? Do you feel forgotten? Do you feel like you're in that low valley of No one's thinking of me. This is it. Nothing good's going to happen. Some people are waiting for a person to come into their lives as a lifelong mate. It doesn't happen. It may not look like it's ever going to happen. Maybe you feel forgotten. You're waiting for a job. You're waiting for your health to improve. You're waiting for a lifelong mate. You're waiting for a financial situation to turn. You're waiting for some direction from the Lord or from someone. You need to go somewhere now. And it feels like, look at verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He was alone in prison in a valley. Now there's two things you can do. If you feel like you're waiting, you're between one thing and another, you're waiting and you feel like you're forgotten, there's two things you can do. The first thing, I don't recommend this. The first thing, you can focus on people. You can focus on people. Look at verse 14 of Genesis 40. But think on me, Joseph said to the cupbearer. Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Look what happened in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot all about him. Joseph could have focused on people. What is wrong with that chief cupbearer? What is wrong with his memory? What is wrong with him that he doesn't realize my circumstances? All he needs to do is say one word to Pharaoh, and I'm out of here. All he needs to do is help me. Everything will be fine. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with that official? You and I could get that way when we're waiting, when we're in limbo. You might say, what's wrong with that job interviewer? Don't they know I'm perfect for the job? What's wrong? All they need to do is pick up the phone and call me, and I'll have a job. What's wrong with that company that they won't hire me? What's wrong with that doctor? Why isn't he helping me? Why isn't he giving me the treatment? Why isn't he giving me the medicine? What's wrong with that person? Some might say, what's wrong with the person I want to date? Where are they, by the way? What's wrong with that teacher? What's wrong with that teacher not giving me the grade I deserve? What's wrong with a bank not giving me the loan that I need? What's wrong with maybe people around me? Maybe think people around me are holding me back. What's wrong with people around me? Maybe they're doing me in. You're waiting. You're in limbo. You're in a valley. Maybe you feel forgotten. You can focus on people, or you can focus on the Lord. Amen? You can focus on the Lord. Joseph, in his valley, in his being forgotten, he focused on God. Before those 2 years ever began, look at verse 7 of Genesis 40. Look at verse 7. Before the 2 years, he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? They said unto him, we've dreamed a dream. There's no one to interpret it. What did Joseph say? Do not interpretations belong to God? His whole life was in reference to God. Everything that happened was in reference to God working behind the scenes. What happened after the 2 years? After the 2 years of being forgotten, of being in waiting, of being in limbo. If you go to chapter 41, Pharaoh had a dream that he couldn't interpret. The cupbearer finally, after 2 years, remembers Joseph. Joseph is brought into Pharaoh's court. And the first thing Joseph says. The first person Joseph points to. Look at Genesis 41. Go to Genesis 41. When he's standing before Pharaoh, after the 2 years, look at verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, brought him hastily out of the dungeon, shaved himself, changed his raiment, his clothing, came unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have a dream. I've dreamed a dream. There's no one to interpret it. I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream. Look at verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not of me. God will do it. After 2 years of being forgotten, he's still thinking of God. He still has God in the background, knowing God's got a plan, knowing God's in charge. After 2 years, there is one constant from Genesis 40 to Genesis 41. There is one thing in Joseph's life that is true. His focus on God alone. Amen. His focus on God alone. He must have known God had a plan. He must have known, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He is Lord, and I am not. He is God. So I've been there for 2 years. So I've been forgotten. God is still alive. God has still got plans. How about you? We've all had times, young or old, where you've been waiting, where you've been in limbo, where you're not sure when you're going to get out of the valley, when you're not sure when you're going to be remembered. Will your focus be upon man, or will your focus be upon God? Which will it be? Your life does not depend upon a job interviewer. Your life, the way in life for you does not depend ultimately upon a doctor or someone who interviews you for a job or anyone in this world on the human level. Your life is not directed by people around you. God is in charge. Amen. God is directing your life. God has got a plan. He's got a will. He's got a way. God will never give up on your life. He's got a job for you. He's got a lifelong mate for you. He's got a treatment for your body. He's got a plan for your finances. He's got a way through whatever direction that you need in your life. It's up to him. God's way is there to direct you when you're in limbo and when you feel like you're forgotten. There's an old-time spiritual song. It was written in 1905 and it's been resung and resung over the years. When I was a young man in my home church, Al Smith, a hymn writer and a singer, came to our church. And my home church has got this high vaulted ceiling and all this wood paneling. And I remember that Sunday night when he sang that song, his eye is on the sparrow. I remember the words. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. I know he watches me. The song is inspired by the words of Jesus. Listen. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Are you here this morning and you're waiting. You feel like, look at verse 23 of chapter 40. You feel like he's forgotten. You feel like you're in a valley. You feel like you're looking up and there's no way out. Maybe you feel that way this morning. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus on God. His way, his plan. He has not forgotten you. Amen? He has not forgotten you. We can't demand that God fix all of our problems the way we want it done. We don't know if he'll give us medically or financially or in any other way our will. But he never leaves us. He will never leave us. Man may fail you, but God will not. He's always there. He always loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will never, ever, ever, not in this life and not in the next, he will never forget you or take his eye off of your life. Never. Would you bow your heads this morning? And as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I want this one thought to be in your heart and in your mind. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. He will never forget you. He will never leave you. And I want in these quiet moments for that to sink into your heart, for that to be in your mind as we close out this part of our service. And we pray, keep your focus on the Lord. He will never, ever forget you. Lord, we pray, you are God and we are not. You've got a plan. You've got a way. You've got a will. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to keep our constant focus upon you. Sometimes our lives feel like Genesis 40 and verse 23, but he forgot. But, oh Lord, man may forget. Man may leave us. But you will always be there for us. And Lord, we praise your name. We hold on to the hope of our Lord and Savior. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.